Well, thank you for the opportunity to note the fact that, yes, my family is involved in this, even though they're not here. And I do talk to them every once in a while about what I'm doing to make sure that they're still okay with it and that everything is still going fine. I think it is. This morning I was texting back and forth with Lisi, who is out for breakfast with a friend of hers, just saying, well, first of all, where are you? Because he's hardly ever up before I am. Okay, fine. Enjoy your day. She said, okay. Have fun preaching to people. Which, for a 17-year-old, I think is pretty good. Just off-the-cuff affirmation that she knows what I'm doing and sees the value in it and appreciates your concern on her behalf, but is okay with me being here. Well, it's the third Sunday of Advent, which means we're very close to Christmas, which for some people means it's now time to panic. I try not to be one of those people. I do find the older I get, the less I'm concerned about gifts and that, particularly as they relate to me, and even to a certain extent to those around me, as I've noticed an interesting transition in our culture. In my lifetime, as Christmas has circled around from being a religious festival, which was, of course, before my time, and that's all it was, for all of our time. And then it became this flurry of gift-giving, and it was all about that, to I'm now seeing a very interesting return to Christmas being about being with people, getting together with those you value. And it's almost like our culture tried to subvert Christmas overall, and God said, okay, fine, you just watch. I'm going to subvert your subversion. I'm going to bring it back to what really matters, and that's people. So hopefully none of you are panicking. There may be some last-minute things to do, of course, but that's just life. It's very seldom that you talk to somebody who says that everything in their schedule is where it should be. So this is kind of normal. And when we look at today's theme, the Advent theme, it's the Sunday of joy. And joy is another one of those words that's kind of tricky. It's not if you don't look at it very deeply. A superficial look at joy is that it's just another word for happiness, really, and that's how most people think of it. Joy, happy, what's the difference? Well, and at a superficial level, there isn't much of a difference, but when we start looking at it, there is a difference, and it's a fairly profound one. I was saying to the children, happiness is our response to external events. We're happy because the weather is better than we thought it might be. We're happy because we ran into someone we weren't expecting when we were at a mall or we were some other place. We're happy when we go to a restaurant that we like and they have our favorite dish on special. It makes it nice. It's happy. We see things that make us happy. My wedding day. It's the happiest day of my life. Everything went the way we wanted to. I mean, the reception started a little bit later than we were planning, but not enough to ruin anything. It was just happy. Joy is different. Because joy fundamentally is independent of our current circumstance. I've been thinking about joy off and on for at least the last 25 years or so when I first encountered C.S. Lewis' spiritual autobiography called Surprised by Joy, where there's some fascinating, I like it because there's some fascinating similarities between his process and mine in coming to faith. But he talks about joy as something more than that superficial definition. That joy is something that is deeper, it's within us, it's grounded on something other than what's around us. Joy is something that can happen at any time, not just when things are going our way. We can be joyful when the weather isn't what we expected and it's actually worse than we expected. We can be joyful in the midst of a crowded mall where we don't see anybody we recognize and get bumped into with carts and people jump ahead of us in line and those irritations of the day that take our happiness away don't have to touch our joy. Because joy is grounded in something other than experience. As I've said before, I sometimes wonder about the four Sundays of Advent, and I think that in some ways we could have some different names for them. And patience, of course, is the one that comes back all the time. It's that maybe we need a Sunday of patience. But maybe the other 48 Sundays of the year are about patience when we really look at it. But joy is one of those things that's grounded not in what's going on now, but in what we know is true. Joy is the bedrock that we stand on that allows us to keep going with optimism and hope, first Sunday of Advent, because of where our hope lies. The source of our joy isn't our circumstances. The source of our joy is God, is the fundamental reality of God. This doesn't mean that people who don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, doesn't mean they never experience joy, because that's not true. But they experience joy as they come into understanding that there's more to life than their current circumstance. As we heard our readings this morning, and as we look at them, we see some interesting things going on that don't, in a sense, look like they would be joyful. Although I suppose certainly the picture that Isaiah has of eyes of the blind being opened, people won't be deaf anymore, people lame will jump like deer or leap like an hart. Whenever I hear this passage, Handel's Messiah just goes through my head, and I sing along no matter who's reading and what translation. I go back into the King James, and Handel and I have a moment. But what's interesting is when you look at verse 4, we see, "Be strong, do not fear." Fear is an enemy of joy. It's an enemy of happiness too, of course. And what we see there is we see Isaiah hearkening back to the words that were given to Joshua as the people of Israel were about to go into the promised land. God told Joshua more than once, "Be strong and courageous. Don't fear." Because fear takes us out of the reality of which we find ourselves and into just the worst part about it. If we're afraid, we're not thinking on those things that make up the bedrock of joy. Because joy comes not from, as I've said, our current experience or what we're doing. It's not from this situation, it's from all situations. Joy is built on the fundamental reality that God exists and loves us. And joy is built on our understanding of church history, of the rest of history, of what Scripture tells us, of our own experience of God. Joy springs from passages like, "All things work together for good for those who love God." Paul wrote that in his letter to the church at Rome. You'll notice he doesn't say all things work together to make you happy. He doesn't say that all things work together for convenience, for comfort, but for good. And he doesn't say it'll happen right away, which I've always thought was unfortunate. I like good, but I want it now. I'm part of that group that stands in front of the microwave tapping my toe. What's taking so long? Joy is the understanding that there's a longer view, that our current situation is not our always situation, whether it's good or bad, whether it's happy or not happy. Where we are now isn't where we will always be and isn't where we've always been. We need to grow into this understanding. It's difficult for us at various ages to put up with waiting for things. Different ages, different stages of life. Somebody once said, everything has to happen right now for six-month-old puppies, six-year-old children, and reformers of any age. When we're that kind of person, we have this feeling that things have to happen now. And if they're not happening now, then something's missing. But joy isn't built on just what's happening now. Joy says that God is good. He always has been and he always will be. We want quick answers. John the Baptist wanted a quick answer. John's in jail, wants to know if Jesus is the Messiah, wants to know if he's the promised one. So he says, send some of his disciples, because of course he can't go. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't say yes or no. I frequently wish he would, but he didn't. You know, why couldn't he just say yes? Yes, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God, fully human, fully divine. Let's move on. No, he says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Goes on saying that these are the signs of what's happening, because the coming of God is, while it may be in an instant, is something that takes place over time and is a transformation. Our joy springs from the reality of that transformation, the transformation within us, the fact that when we look back over our lives, we say, I'm far from perfect, and there are some things that I think I'm further behind now than I was before, but overall, I'm well on the way. Overall, I know God better now than I did 25 years ago. Overall, I have a better understanding of how I fit. And overall, I have a better understanding that just because something is uncomfortable for now, it doesn't mean that that's all my life will be, and that God's forgotten me. C.S. Lewis talks about joy as something that is deep within us. And it manifests itself sometimes, and just about everyone has an experience something like this, where you have a sudden sense, it comes from beyond you, it's bigger than happiness, it's hard to describe, as you can tell as I try to describe it, but it lifts your heart. Sometimes there's a sense of longing towards something more, but a sure knowledge that there is more to have. Lewis said that this was a sign. It was a reminder that there is more to our life than just what we're experiencing at the moment. And that God is intimately and desperately in love with us and wanting us to move forward in these ways that he's created for us. But he won't do all of it for us, because it's something we need to do for ourselves. And every once in a while we need a reminder, and we get these moments of an indescribable something. He called them signposts. He said when you're walking along and you're not sure whether you're going the right way, a signpost is a great moment. But you don't stand at the signpost. You don't stand where the signpost is and make a little church and worship the signpost. You just say, no, that's a sign to move forward, to keep moving deeper into who God is and who we are with him. Joy is what comes below and beyond all of us. And it's what lifts us up, that allows us to be independent of being happy, to be joyful. Like I was telling the folks at Knox, and I think I may have mentioned it before, I came into faith in a way that made most of the people in the faith tradition I was in sort of wonder about me. I couldn't, for example, point to the moment I became saved, because I didn't know. So they weren't entirely sure, and that kind of worried them, and then they started asking me if I had a life verse. I said, no, what's that? Well, as it turns out, a life verse is one of the, it's supposed to be sort of the capstone of your life captured in a single verse of scripture, which I think is unlikely. So I used to make up ones or grab ones, whatever I'd been reading recently, to make them go away and leave me alone and think I was part of the tribe, until I realized that in a very real sense, I guess I do have a life verse. And it's Hebrews 12:2, especially the middle part, where the writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. Joy is what enables us to continue going when we don't want to. It's possible to be joyful in the midst of the most horrifying circumstances, because people have done it. Because joy depends on our understanding that God is with us at all times, transforming us into the people we were created to be. And that he's enabling us and allowing us and encouraging us to be part of transforming the world into what it was created to be. We get to be part of that. And that never stops. He's always with us. That's one of the other parts of joy, is that deep understanding that God is always with us. Always. Not just when we're happy, and not just when we're sad. He's always there. He's always moving us forward. And it's that sense of joy that enables us to to get beyond our current set of circumstances and continue to move forward. To continue to do what it is in our own lives to become more like Him. And in the world around us to make it more like it was created to be. Joy is a tricky thing to define. But it's one of those things that I'm pretty sure we know it when we see it. A deep sense of optimism, of hope, of knowing that God is with us and is moving us forward and has never left us behind. But He's right there beside us all the time as we move forward in this, knowing that we're moving towards something. Whether we'll see a transformed us or a transformed world in our lifetime doesn't matter, because we're moving towards it no matter what. That's the meaning of our lives. That we're more than just a collection of chemicals and compounds. We're not an accident. We're not a coincidence. We were created for a purpose. And that purpose is part of what moves us forward every day. Joy is another name for that sense of moving forward. For the joy set before us, for the reality of the joy in our lives, we can do those things that sometimes we don't want to. That are sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they're just inconvenient. But we do them because of who God is within us. On this third Sunday of Advent, as we look forward to the celebration of the coming of Jesus the first time, that's another aspect of what gives us joy so that we might move forward. Whether you're feeling happy or not, whether your circumstances are what you would choose or not, joy is always there for us in the same way that God is always with us. Amen.